We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're talking rookie wide receivers and what we can learn from regression tree analysis on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin, one of the owners at RotoViz, coming to you tonight with a solo pod. Apparently, there is some very inclement weather out there in Northeast Ohio, where Curtis lives, with some tornado warnings, some very high winds, and a lot of weather issues out there. So, he was without Wi-Fi. I actually, in my neck of the woods, as unbelievable as it feels, am supposed to be getting a terrible winter storm coming through tomorrow evening. As I'm recording this, it's Tuesday. So Wednesday night into Thursday into Friday, apparently, up here in New Hampshire. It's going to be very, very messy. Foot of snow in some places. I'm kind of closer to the southern part. Well, I'm in the southern part of the state, like an hour from Boston, for those of you familiar. So where we are, it's not supposed to be quite as bad. But anyways, you don't need my weather forecast, but I did want to record something tonight in case I am without Wi-Fi or without power in the coming days. So what we are talking about in this episode is wide receivers, rookie wide receivers in particular, and some of the analysis that I have gone through and done to get a better sense of this class of rookie wide receivers. All right, so apologies if you've listened to this show for a long time. You're familiar with what I'm going to talk about here to some degree, but basically, one of the things that we've done on the site, and I've kind of put my own spin on it the last couple of years and kind of dusted off some of the analysis that we've done. This process is called regression tree analysis. And basically what you do is you use an algorithm to more or less make this decision tree that the computer can run through, where it's looking at specific stats for a player. And it's asking this series of questions. And at each series of questions, it will ask different questions that kind of branch out in different directions. So maybe the first question is something like, was this player drafted before pick 100? And if the answer is yes, then you get a different question than if the answer is no. Now, this isn't a foolproof process, but one of the interesting things when you do an analysis like this and you use these statistical techniques is that it can help you to hone in on some of the things that are important, or to pick up on some mixtures of attributes or relationships that might not be apparent absent of doing this analysis. Now, one of the things that we have always stressed and remains to be the single most important factor that you're going to find when you look at rookie wide receivers is draft position, to the point where if you try to build some of these trees And if you're curious and learning more about this, you really have to go to the site and look at the article, because I'm not going to be able to do this justice, I don't think, by just trying to narrate. There's visuals that go with this that will break it down more. But if you try to go through this process and you're including draft position is almost so important that the series of questions that the algorithm is just going to work through all just relate to draft position. That's how important draft position is. Now, there are some cutoffs to where you see, and one of the cool things when you do this regression tree analysis, you're making tons and tons of different versions of trees, and it's doing some things where it's looking at all of the different ones that you make to arrive at a final one, and it's using different training sets and test sets and what have you. Anyway, what you find is that very commonly the cutoff for the first split in the tree was a player drafted somewhere between maybe 75 to 100. And then on the right side of that, the next question is, well, was this player drafted approximately in the first round? If they were, no surprise, we see those players scoring the most points, which comes out to around 12 to 13-ish PPR points per game in these players' years 1 through 3 in the NFL on average. That's around 14% of players in the years included in my sample, which I forget exactly what I used here. It was a couple of weeks ago now when I did all of this. And okay, so I have 277 players right in this sample. They are going back a number of years here, I think to around like 2014, 2015. You get around 25% of players going in the 30s to somewhere in the like low 80s. Those players are normally putting up around 8.5 points. And of course, this is very simplistic. Then you have the branch of this tree where you're looking at players greater than somewhere between 77 to 100 in most trees. And there is a split that goes to around pick 120. Around 23% of players fall in that range. They're normally putting up 6.3 points. Beyond 120, which is where around 38% of wide receivers go, we're seeing those players score more like 3.9 points per game. So the long and the short of it is, in comparison to other positions, I find wide receiver a little bit easier to control for and project. Because it is so dependent on draft capital. And I think one of the things that we see a little bit less than you would with running backs is it being dependent on the specific spot that that player goes to. Maybe that's not really the case, but just the way that it shakes out, we have better rates with projecting things and looking at things statistically in the work that I have done and the work that others at RotoViz have done when you're looking at wide receivers in comparison to running back. Tight end, and of course, quarterback, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. So the next thing that you could look at, if you leave draft position in, but you force it to include another variable, what comes up as something that's very important? Well, shouldn't be a surprise here. We've preached this for years. Breakout age, or something that would get at the age of a player or speak to production early on in their career, is what you're going to see as important. So a lot of the trees that I would arrive at give me something like this. Was a player drafted before or after 100? If they're drafted after 100, you walk down lower point trees. If they're drafted between picks 1 to 100, then you look at their breakout age. If it's less than 20, they're going to fall into that top tier bucket with around 12, maybe to 13 PPR per game in their first three seasons. If they fail to do that, but they're drafted before pick 29, so basically a first rounder, we still see them falling somewhere, maybe a point or two less than that top tier total. Beyond that, we get back down to that 6 or 7 range, which I think really reinforces the idea that we need to place a premium on youth, and that young players drafted early are the most likely to become elite fantasy wide receivers. Again, nothing revolutionary here, but it gives this nice, simple starting point from which you can start to think about these rookie wide receivers in your rookie drafts and the ones that it makes sense to go for. So, what we can then start to do, right, is I remove draft position from the trees that I'm looking at, from my process here where we're kind of pruning things to find those metrics and those combinations of metrics that tend to matter for wide receivers. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
I did a ton of different iterations of these trees, and I decided that it makes the most sense for me to remove draft position. In what I presented in this article and what I presented on the site, because it's going to drive so much. So when we remove draft position, there are some interesting things that happen. For starters, if you look at what I call max receptions per game, or basically you go into a player's career, you find the season in which he recorded the highest number of receptions per game, there's a cutoff around 5. That tends to look at this player's success. Now, if a player fails to get to 5 receptions per game, but is a prolific touchdown scorer with a max receiving touchdown number in their best season that's well into the double digits, that can push that player up into the around 10 point per game range. If a player, though, does not get to 5 receptions per game in their max year, then they need to be fast. They need to be sub 4.4 fast in order to kind of get into the middle range of points per game in years 1 to 3. If you do not get a lot of receptions in college, you're not a prolific touchdown scorer, and you run greater than a 4.4, this regression tree analysis would give you a lower probability, or we see fewer of these types of players doing well in their first 3 years in the league. Now, as we talked about earlier, it shouldn't be a surprise to see that when you remove draft position, an important question still remains one that drives at youth. And depending on a mixture of how you might go about introducing variables or how you're doing your particular regression trees, you're going to see something, though, I think along the lines of the player's age in their final season, or perhaps something with breakout age. In the final tree that I arrived on that I talk about in the article, we look at final age, and if it's greater than 21. If it's less than 21, you are expecting that this player, if a player is with more than five receptions per game in their max year, if they're under 21, they generally fall into that top range of rookie wide receiver in their first 3 years. And then on top of that, if we're talking about a player that gets more than seven receptions per game, they are in pretty elite company according to this exercise. So other things that you would look at on these trees is maybe if they're older than 21, but they score a lot of touchdowns and they're fast and they're big, they can approximate some of those higher end outcomes. If they score a lot of touchdowns, but they're slow, but they have a good receiving dominator, they can do okay. What you don't want to do though is be older than 21 and not have a good receiving dominator or not get more than seven touchdowns or get less than seven touchdowns somewhere in there in your final collegiate season. Now, there's a lot of different ways that we could cut at wide receiver metrics and that we could look at different mixtures of variables, or we could do other types of statistical analysis in other places. But one of the things I like about these trees is that it just gives you something visual you can walk through to help you understand. And then you can pull up a player's profile on the site in the Box Score Scout and start kind of walking him through these trees and seeing where he falls out. And if you know that these trees shouldn't be followed like hard and fast rules, it helps you to get a better feel for what this player's career might look like. So I went through this exercise. I did it for all players in the class this year. And what we're going to do now is walk through Jalen Polk, wide receiver out of Washington, who I thought was a fairly interesting example. One of the reasons for this is when Sean, Blair, Curtis, and myself did the rookie ranking summit, Polk was one of those players where there was some discussion on where should he really end out. You know, this was coming off the heels of Washington playing in the college football playoff. There's a number of good players in that offense. So we had to really look through his profile and see where he landed. I was higher on him than some. So when I finished getting these players into the tree for this year, I was really interested. So if we make our way through his tree, we'll see that as a senior, he managed five receptions per game. That shoots him down the good side of our regression tree. Now, he was 21.7 years old at the end of his final season, but he did score nine touchdowns in 2023. So that moves him into this branch of the tree where 40% of players fell and they averaged 7.2 PPR in years 1 to 3. But we can drill a little bit deeper here. If we look at his 40 time, which was 4.52, but also a max dominator of 0.25, he gets into a weaker bucket here. Now, one of the things I talk about in the article that you got to be careful with when you're doing any type of analysis like this, or you're looking in the article at the trees that I made, just 3% of players in the training data finished in this bucket. So what I'm looking at is how he did in most of these things in the tree. And I'm also then going to consider the fact that he still could get selected in round two, which would make his final result in these trees not that great. However, though, like I said, I'm not going to assign him a specific point just because of the exercise here. I think what this exercise does is it points to there being a possibility of him having a high-end outcome to some degree, or a higher outcome than some might think. There is a little bit of room to miss, but really, this probably positions him as the type of wide receiver that I would put into, if I'm doing rookie tiers, you know, I'm probably going to end up with him in what I would call my strong tier, in tier three. And I think that is a good example of why an exercise like this is pretty useful. So other players that we're going to highlight here that are kind of interesting, I think, that finished very strong in these models that I think are worth going back and taking a look at here. We have Xavier Worthy. Now, everybody knows that this guy put up a ridiculous performance at the combine. This guy is fast, likely got himself into round one of the NFL draft. And I actually haven't checked his projected spot. So while I pull some things up here, I am going to go to mock draft database and look this up. But Xavier Worthy played at Texas from 21 to 23. One of the first things you'll see is that he's just 20.6 at the end of his career, right? So he's got youth going for him. As a freshman, put up 12 receiving touchdowns, a receiving dominator of 0.39, checking a lot of these boxes already. In terms of receptions per game, he put up 63 on 12 games as a freshman, which already got him over that five threshold. And actually, as a senior and a sophomore, excuse me, as a junior and a sophomore, did that as well. So just looking at his numbers high level, we see things very impressive for him. And I have mock draft database up, and I'm taking a quick look to see approximately where he's going now. It looks like he's going to be somewhere on the fringe of round one. So that got him into my tier two. I think he's a player that should be very exciting to those of you drafting this year. Now, you might be wondering why he didn't get into tier one. And some of that will be combated. You'll have to go in and kind of run through the trees yourself here and look at some of these other players, because I landed with four guys as having elite potential this year. I think that Marvin Harrison is one of the only players that I would not get any pushback from anybody in this tier. But we also have Malik Nabers, who I would imagine at this point a lot of people have come around to. But I have two other players in the elite tier that I think are worth going to check out. But if we get down to our tier three type of guys, like I said, Polk was in there. I think I also want to briefly talk about Jalen McMillan now, who I have in this tier as well, who played at Washington despite sharing the field with Jalen Polk and Rome Odunze. He still put together a fantastic profile, in my opinion, for playing on that team. Now, if we take a look at where he's expected to go, he's probably going to be somewhere in the 80s. So it's really impressive what Washington was able to do. And if we take a look at his stats and think about them in the context of what we talked about earlier, I think that you might be fairly impressed. So he did play 4 years at Washington, finishes at age 22. So the age is not in his favor. However, did get a max touchdown season of 9, did get to a receiving dominator of 0.25 in 2022. In terms of receptions, his max year has him at 79 divided by 13, 6 receptions per game. So he performs well in that metric. Hit a 4.47 40. So that's pretty decent. Weighs 197. Overall, when you look at this profile, it was strong enough that I was able to get him into my tier three. Now, Keon Coleman is a player I've been wanting to talk about on the podcast for a long time.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He landed in tier three as well. And one of the things that you have to note about Coleman here is that he was a transfer. And he started his career at Michigan State, then heads over to Florida State for his age 20.6 season. So does have some elements of age on his side. And the problem, though, that you do see for Keon Coleman is he was an incredible playmaker at Florida State. Did a lot of things very well. However, his max receptions per game failed to get to five. Didn't manage to do that in any of the years that he was there. Did get to 11 receiving touchdowns and a receiving dominator of 0.34 in his final year at his only year at Florida State, his final year of his career. However, the draft position now too is not looking like it's going to be as high as we might have once thought. So he's probably not a lock to go in the first round anymore. Looks like he could fall to early round two, maybe sneak in to round one. That's one of the things that has brought his profile down a little bit. The other thing being, if you're running him through trees like this, the 40 does not help him out. The good thing is, though, he is over 213. And we have talked about how he was the fastest player running the drills in terms of miles per hour. So some of those things coming together have conspired to make me have to drop him down into this tier three strong tier. One of the things that I can't really get you to with numbers is just the fact that it does seem like, and I think it's to some degree supported by what he did in the drills, just does look like the type of guy that sometimes at Florida State got used in short yardage situations to just get the ball and try to have him make a play. Now, perhaps that doesn't get him into the range of some of the other players we see in this very, very strong class, but is the type of thing that could pay dividends in the NFL and certainly keep him useful to a team. And we'll be paying closer attention to exactly what that might look like once the draft is completed, because this is going to be really, really exciting. Like I said, I have four players here in our tier one this year. That is by and large the most that I would have in that tier since we started doing this exercise maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And we also have two players in the very strong tier. So this is just such a solid wide receiver class. If you are in need of wide receivers in your draft this year, I think you're probably feeling pretty comfortable. Maybe you can even trade back some knowing that you have at a minimum six guys that I feel very strong to them having elite potential about. A couple other players that I think are maybe worth mentioning. Adonai Mitchell, pretty interesting. I would go and look him up. He's in my tier four, which I called okay. You do also get Roman Wilson out of Michigan in there. Now, I think a thing that you need to note with by playing in Michigan's offense, which did not air things out often, that might suppress his profile a little bit. Also had 12 touchdowns as a senior, a 4.39 in the 40. Some of the things that when you look at these trees the way we have and other things we know about wide receivers, answer some of the questions you might have with the benefit of the doubt he gets into tier four. Maybe he's a later round player that you get interested in to some degree. I'm going to pull up a couple of his numbers here quickly. Does finish at 22.5, which is a little bit older. But if you look at his senior season here, 789 yards on 48 receptions at 16.44 a clip, receiving dominator of 38%, 12 receiving touchdowns, had a receiving touchdown market share of 0.5. So kind of an interesting profile. Ran a 4.39 40, does weigh in though at just 185, but fairly interesting profile there when you place it into context. Johnny Wilson, Sean made the case when we were doing the ranking summit that he actually should be the player outside of Keon Coleman, instead of Keon Coleman from Florida State, that should be getting looked at. Now, the thing is, he's an older prospect, and he also didn't really excel in any of the items that we looked at as we made our way through the exercises that we talked about in this podcast and in the article that I pulled together on the wide receiver regression trees. We'll take a quick look though here, because one of the things that Sean did like was the 17.23 yards per reception on his career. He did also put up a receiving dominator of 0.25 in his sophomore year at Arizona State, was able to put up some decent production at Arizona State, then come to Florida State, make a pretty solid name for himself. But one of the things that you don't like is just 8 receiving touchdowns on his whole career, which for a player of his size, who's one of the tallest receivers you're going to see, still ran a 4.5 40, by the way, weighs 231, you would expect to see more touchdowns. I don't think I love that in his profile. And I also don't love that his highest receiving total came in his first year at FSU, where he was by and large, I don't know if I want to say by and large, but he had less competition than he did in 23, only averaged 3.5 receptions per game. That was playing with a solid quarterback in Jordan Travis. And like I said, on a roster where you would have expected him to put up more receptions. So those are some of the holes in his profile. Also, if we look at where he's expected to go in the draft, he's at 111 in contrast to Roman Wilson, who's back around 51, according to Mock Draft Database. So like I've said, I'm really excited about this wide receiver class. Hopefully now you have a better understanding of some of the things that should be driving how we view these prospects. And I would definitely go and check out the charts that are in with the article. I also gave some quick thoughts and some quick notes on all of the players and some of the things that may have driven them landing where they did, or some of the things that they lacked that kind of pushed them out of a tier that one might expect. So hopefully the weather cooperates and Curtis and I can get back and record another episode this week. As always, thanks for stopping by, and we will talk again soon.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.